American Exceptionalism News Network.
One thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will, and it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
This was in a book for Freemasons. Fictions are necessary to the people, and the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance. In fact, what can there be in common between the vile multitude and sublime wisdom? The truth must be kept secret, and the masses need a teaching proportional to their imperfect reason.
Broadcasting live from a bunker high atop Mount Hood.
It's all heading towards a fascist totalitarian state.
It's radio that's delivering the truth.
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
See, the problem is they don't get to determine what is right and wrong in the process. It's all done by the central government.
And here's Paul Preston and Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. And, you know, it's interesting the way things play out in the world now, isn't it? Donald Trump, he's actually on top of the world. I know people thinking, oh my goodness. Donald Trump on top of the world. You know, to a lot of Democrats, he actually seems like he's a nice guy. At least that's the evidence we saw last night. I just have to tell you, I'm walking away from the whole thing last. Hey, winning. Even Democrats can be winning with this president. I think that's what is starting to click off in the minds of people. And you know what it does is it makes Nancy Pelosi look, well, petty. And she very much looked petty last night. Sitting behind the president. We expected something. Rolling eyes, you know, that sort of thing. And, of course, we got more than that. We got, you know, with the mouth and then shuffling papers and really trying to be a distraction. Almost like a very immature child. I mean, I have for a year, 41 years with kids, right? In 41 years, you know, you kind of get to genuflex it. You get the faces. You understand when children are being children, right? And not paying attention to the adults in the room. And that's exactly what that looked like in front of all those millions of people. She's being kind of she's attempting to be disrespectful to Donald Trump. It wasn't working. And again, what it made her look like was petty. That's just her behavior as she was sitting over the left shoulder of the president, who gave, I felt, a very unifying speech. And I think other people are starting to realize that. We're getting we're monitoring and during the break. There hasn't been really too many big stories coming out from that. Other than, you know, people are starting to realize, wow, that was really a good speech that he gave last night. And, of course, the biggest part of that, the biggest takeaway, I said there was unification going on. And there's education and notification, basically, that we will not be a socialist country. We will not be a socialist country. We're not now and never will be and forever never will be a socialist state. That's a fact. And I believe, my opinion, the president got our memo from New California. The three resolutions that we wrote, came up with, and resolved that our Constitutional Convention, our work product, three resolutions, our work product from three resolutions, we condemned the socialist state of California, because socialism is here in the United States, in the state of California. It's ensconced and has been for a long time. And now it's just matured even more so into a monoparty system in which corruption is replete all the way through and through, including the electoral system, and denying the citizens of the United States living in the state of California the rights that they are guaranteed to have by way of the Constitution, and that the president must, which he has sworn an oath to do, he must protect and defend the Constitution. He has to protect us and defend us and guarantee the rights enumerated in the Constitution under Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. He has a responsibility, and he got our memo. It's crystal clear to me that Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, got our resolutions. And they digested the resolutions. And they said, you know what? We need to make a statement to the whole nation, which is one of the pleadings that we made in our resolutions. And I'm going to be reading some of that resolution that came out yesterday, that grievance that came out in the resolutions that were there. I'm going to be bringing that forward. Now, the interesting thing is, this is number 54 of the grievances that we read yesterday. 54. 54 weeks we've been doing this. It's wonderful. It's spectacular. It's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. Okay, now, we are going to be very dogged about this whole thing, about trampling out socialism, because we think that New California is the tip of the spear, the sword, to stop socialism, to stop the totalitarians, to set up new borders in California, a new state, a new sovereign state, and also to help the entire nation heal and gain their autonomy back from the counties to the states. That's what we'll do. And even the cities, towns. Autonomy is good, ladies and gentlemen. Centralized government is bad, which is exactly what socialism and communism espouse and want you to get to. They want to break down the boundaries, the borders. That's what communism and socialism is all about. Deteriorating your representation. That's what it's about. I think we're going to play a clip, instructional clip. It's like, you know, we're going to school today. The bell's going to ring. I'm going to get a bell ring thing going on. The bells will ring, and you come to class in a little bit. A couple of things. We're going to cover the socialist thing here in a little bit different fashion than what you've probably been used to. It's time everybody get what the president is saying, because we get it in New California. That's basically what we've been doing. And the president knows that. They got the message. They got the memo. They got our resolutions. It's pretty clear to me. The fight is on to stop socialism, especially here in California, and it's going to be done with a new state. And everybody's going to learn more than they've ever thought they ever knew about remaining free, having freedom and liberty and independence, and being responsible for it and protecting it. Because right now, it's not being protected too well. And, of course, the evidence of that is the absolute pummeling that our great Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and Bill of Rights have taken at the hands of extremists. No one knows the Constitution. Everywhere you look, and they're just saying, oh, we have a democracy, we have a democracy, which shows the complete ignorance of whoever the person speaking that is. about freedom and liberty and independence and your rights, God given to you. We'll be back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
He's undoing the U.S. one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
This might come as a surprise, but in the history of the modern world, there has never been a communist country. While a number of countries have described themselves as communist, for example, China and North Korea, by definition, there has never been a true communist country. So, what exactly is communism, and how does it relate to socialism? Well, it may be easier to explain what the two have in common. Both ideologies originate from a desire to limit worker exploitation and lower or eliminate the influence of economic classes in society. There are dozens of variations on both communism and socialism based on the different ways these ideologies are implemented in different countries. There's Stalinism, Leninism, Trotskyism, Maoism, and others which are essentially all versions of Marxism, coupled with various styles of revolution. Karl Marx was an economist and philosopher who co-wrote the Communist Manifesto, among other foundational books on communism. In short, his theory centered around the idea that as Europe transitioned from centralized monarchies to quasi-democratic capitalist economies, workers were being exploited by those who owned the means of production. So if you work in a factory or on a farm, as many at the time did, whoever owns the factory or farm is getting more out of the worker than they're putting in. This creates an inherent inequality, giving the owners, who Marx called the bourgeoisie, power over the workers, called the proletariat. In Marxism, to fix this inequality, society must shift towards a model where the proletariat hold this power instead, by collectively controlling the means of production. That's where socialism and communism come into play. According to Marx, socialism is a precursor to communism and the next logical step after capitalism. In socialism, a democratic state controls the means of production, rather than having private companies hold ownership. Instead of competing with each other as in a capitalist society, socialism has workers contribute as much as they can to the greater good, and then they all share equally in that good. Variations of this idea are already popular within capitalist societies in the form of universal healthcare or social services like fire departments and schools funded by taxes. While the use of these services is unequal, everyone is equally responsible for contributing to them based on their ability or level of income. So that's socialism. But once the state controls all the means of production, the next step is total collective ownership, not just of production, but all aspects of society and economy, including private property. The intention of abolishing private property is a classless, moneyless, and stateless society, where everyone works towards the same collective goal of being healthy, happy, and free. Everybody does what they can to contribute and takes only what they need in return. As I said before, there are no true communist countries, and there never have been. Every so-called communist country is actually a socialist country, with the state controlling employment and economy to some degree. Even the widely referred to communist Russia was actually called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. In short, socialism and communism are not altogether different. Rather, most schools of economics consider socialism to be a precursor to communism once the state has enough control over society and economy. But this total control is a major reason that socialist countries struggle to reach this ideal. Corruption is rampant in countries like the former USSR, Venezuela, Vietnam, and North Korea, largely due to people in power abusing that power instead of using it to help the society they control, and refusing to give up that power to the people. Nonetheless, socialist ideals have seen incredible success when paired with capitalism in countries like Sweden and Canada. The human hurdle of overcoming power and greed in government is the biggest reason we've never seen a true communist country. So, which countries have been labeled communist, and how do they actually live up to the...
Well, there you have it. That's kind of a little brief explanation. It's called Now This World, talking about communism and so on. We've got another thing going on here with Ben Shapiro. And I'd like to play this, Ben Shapiro, because I've seen this actually when this came out. Ben Shapiro talking about, explains why communism always, or excuse me, socialism always fails. And this guy gave you, this last guy, gave you the sterile version, basically, of socialism slash communism. He didn't quite emphasize enough, I don't think, that when you make that little step from socialism into communism, which he explained very well, but when you make that step, it becomes the state that is really the controlling factor. The state takes over everything, which is exactly the point we're at right now in California. We've made huge socialist strides, and we are a socialist state. California is a socialist state. So what Donald Trump is saying in his address last night is, you know, we're not going to be a socialist nation. Now, that's why I say New California, we come in with our interruption to all this. Right? We come in with our interruption to all this, that we're not going to tolerate socialism, and we're going to be in the inspired by the Declaration of Independence, 1776, which was a struggle against socialism and totalitarianism, which is really, you heard these offshoots he was talking about, Maoism and Trotskyism and Leninism and all this other, but they're all variations of the same theme of Karl Marx. Well, Karl Marx's communism was a variation of all the same themes of totalitarians before him. Totalitarianism is totalitarianism. It doesn't matter if you're a monarchy or if you're a religious group and you're acting in totalitarian fashion. We just talked about things and that were going on in the Catholic Church. When you have that kind of suppression of your own people, if you will, that's totalitarianism. And this has been going on for years, hundreds, thousands of years, as long as there have been human notions. And you heard this guy explain, which was really, really good. that, you know, the under the ideal perfect utopia, which you got to keep in mind, the notion of utopian societies has been around for a long time. We had them here in the United States when, you know, when communism first really started to flourish. People started thinking utopia, the perfect state. The perfect communist city, as an example, was developed in the Soviet Union, actually, in Moscow University back in 1952, which is stack and pack housing, which, of course, gave rise to the United Nations Agenda 21 planning for what society should look like and how it should be living in the stack and pack houses. That's the perfect communist city. Stack and pack housing is this perfect communist city from 1952 developed in Moscow University. But utopianism has been around for a long, long time. And it was very strong in the United States, even Southern California. I like to tell the story about the first time I came across a utopian society. I was a young boy. And a man by the name of Persis Ward, who was friends of my family, owned a lot of land in Anaheim, California. I did, you know, I just grew up next to him, and he was kind of like a grandfather to me in a sense. He packed me up one day in his car and says, "Let's go for a ride, Paul." So we go down to, it was then, I came to State College Boulevard. We drive down to some place where they're tearing up orange trees. They're tearing them up, they're plowing them up, and putting them in piles and burning them. You see, in the 1950s, that's what they did. It just happened to be his land, and he had just sold it to Cal State Fullerton to help build the university. I saw that. Then he drives me a little bit further down the road, and we stop in front of a huge rock wall. Huge rock wall. It went for a long ways. Big, and there was a big Victorian house and a whole bunch of other things, and it was all overrun. And he was teaching me a lesson about utopianism. And he had taken me to a place in Placentia, California, where there had been a utopian society. They called themselves the Placentia, listen to this, Grass Eaters. The Placentia Grass Eaters. Look it up. Utopian society. It had been, the buildings were shambles. And he went on and he told me, he said, this is where people came and they developed in the 1800s in Orange County, a utopian society where everything was part of the utopian society. Everything was part of the group. Everybody shared equally. Everything was perfect in this utopian society. Everybody contributed what they could and took what they could and what they needed. But, of course, the worst natures of them, of course, settled in. And several years into the whole project, for a lot of these people, greed started to take over. There was no moderation. There were no laws. It was lawlessness. It was debauchery. It was all the things that, you know, we see ourselves slip-sliding into today, right? Abortions. The decay of the Democratic Party. Should we talk about the Virginia governor? That's what was going on there. Debauchery. And for there, you know, in the 1800s, society was shocked, absolutely shocked that such debauchery, such strangeness was going on. Perversion of all sorts being experienced there. Ultimately, it failed. And I said to him, well, what is this place? What does it mean to be a utopian? As we got in the car and drove off, we're driving down the road and he says, well, Paul, that's communism. That's what communism is like. That's the first time I'd ever really heard the word communism and understood it. That's my first experience with socialism / communism. And as everybody has said, like you just listened to in that truth report, to try and get to communism, that perfect utopian society, you know, people just don't get there. because dictators rise up to intercept that perfect utopian society, to ruin it for everybody, right? Ocasio-Cortez comes to mind, right? And then the dictator part of that, all you need to do is look at Nancy Pelosi. On one side, you have this perfect idealist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and on the other spectrum, you have Nancy Pelosi running around as the dictator, doing the bidding of the dictators that charge her, that control her and manipulate her, right? Because remember, she was the one. She was the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of her time in 1992. And what did her betters tell her to do? Her betters trotted her out, and she introduced House ResCon Resolution 353, making the law that would bring into effect the adoption of Agenda 21 principles from the Rio meeting, 1992. And just before that, of course, it was George Bush the senior on September 11th, 1991, that said there will be a one world order ushered in by the United Nations. There will be this perfect utopia, is what they were saying. Now, I wonder what resolution or what bill Ocasio-Cortez is going to bring forward next as we march straight on into communism, right? Well, I think we've got the communist-socialist interruption going on right now with Donald Trump in the speech last night. But I want to hear a little bit from Ben Shapiro. This is his speech that he made back in July of last year. I heard a little bit of it. I wanted to bring this out. Ben Shapiro is great. I think I really have a lot of respect for Ben Shapiro. He's explaining, perfectly explains why socialism always fails.
Today's topic is capitalism and the First Amendment. And unfortunately, capitalism has gotten a really bad rap, particularly among people of our generation. I'm barely still of your generation. Right, so I'm going to hold on to that signifier as long as I possibly can. Too many young Americans don't know anything about capitalism. They don't know why it's good. They think socialism is good. There's a Harvard Institute of Politics poll in spring 2016, and it found that Bernie Sanders, that loonbag, was the only major candidate with a net positive rating among 18 to 29-year-olds. 54% viewed him favorably, compared with just 31% who viewed him unfavorably. And now they're making the argument we should lower the voting age to 16. I can't see how that goes wrong. The same poll showed that only 42% of young Americans supported capitalism. 33% said they supported socialism, as in full-scale socialism. Like one in three young Americans supports full-scale socialism. Fully 50% of all Democratic voters said they favored socialism over capitalism. One in two. Okay, well, that's probably because young people are too young to remember when socialist nations like the USSR actually threatened nuclear destruction, when they murdered tens of millions of people. I mean, there's still some Soviet-style dictatorships, right? The communist Chinese are still imprisoning millions and billions of people under repressive, harsh rule. North Korea, obviously, is still a communist paradise where people are shipped off to gulags. But the idea of socialism has become very popular among young people. And the reason that it's become popular among young people is because they've been told that it is moral. Not that it works, not that it's great, but that it's moral. It's fair. And we all like things that are fair. If we're in a room and somebody has more money and somebody has less money, wouldn't it be more fair if we just pooled the money and then we split it up evenly among the participants? You know, just like the cookies in kindergarten. Except, of course, that's not the way the world works, and that's not actually moral. Because in a free country, wealth and the capacity to gain it is largely contingent on the decisions that you make. It doesn't just fall upon you. Most wealth in the United States is not inherited. Most wealth in the United States is created over the course of lifetimes by people who engage in economic activity and commerce. Capitalism is good because capitalism is freedom. Socialism is bad because socialism is tyranny. Not it's an aspect of tyranny. Socialism itself is tyranny. The statement of socialism is that your labor is owed to the society. The notion of socialism is that you do not own your own freedom. You do not own your own time. You do not own your own labor. You do not own your own work. You do not own the products of your own work. The basic notion of capitalism is you own all of those things, and now you have to engage in free exchange with someone else who does not owe you anything. If you want to thrive, if you want to succeed, you are going to have to make something somebody else wants. People think capitalism is selfishness. No, socialism is selfishness. The notion that I have to somehow supply you the money so you can sit in your basement and paint with watercolors. Socialism, the idea that I'm supposed to fulfill all your dreams by paying you for something I don't want and have no need for. But capitalism is precisely the opposite. We all do stuff in our daily jobs that we don't like. Why? Because there's a group for it who want to consume it. How many people love their daily job every day? I'm lucky. I get to go to a job that I really enjoy every day. But a lot of people don't. And you know why they do it? They do it because they understand that in a free society, they're going to have to produce something that is not entertaining and interesting only to them. If my podcast had one listener, I would have to quit podcasting. And if whatever business you go into has no customers, your business will go out of business. As I'm fond of saying, capitalism is forced altruism. It forces you to do something that somebody else wants if you want to live. Socialism is forced altruism in a different way. It's forcing your altruism to me. Right? Capitalism is about I have to be forced to do something good for you in order for me to live. And socialism is about the idea that I have to be forced to do something for you so that you can live. That's not the same thing at all. Capitalism also happens to be the most efficient system for the distribution of wealth in the history of mankind. It is the greatest capital. It is the greatest engine for growth in the history of mankind. It is the single greatest force for the empowerment of individual human beings in the history of mankind. So, why is it unpopular after all this is said? It's unpopular because it's very easy to demagogue capitalism. Any policy that has diffuse costs and concentrated benefits is a popular policy by nature. Right? Any policy that has diffuse costs and concentrated benefits is going to be popular. So subsidies, for example, to farmers in Iowa, those are popular because farmers in Iowa get a big chunk of cash and you only lost 1 cent off your paycheck. So you didn't even see it. You didn't even notice it. Well, socialism is sort of the same idea. If you don't notice the money coming off your paycheck, then you're not going to notice that that one person is getting a bunch of money. So that person benefits, and that person feels good about the benefits they just received, but you don't even notice the money coming off. Except that in a socialist system, you have to take so much money off the top that everybody notices, of course. Now, socialism in and of itself, as I say, is tyrannical. It is evil. Socialism violates at least 3 of the 10 commandments. It puts government before God. It says that theft is fine. Theft is no longer a problem so long as you and your friends vote for it. And, of course, petty jealousy is something that is necessary. It's good to be jealous. Workers of the world must unite, not because they're necessarily being grinded down by the boot heel of capitalism, but simply because they are jealous of the achievements of others. So much of America's discussion right now about income inequality is not about the suffering poor. So much of it is about the so-called thriving rich, the 1% at the top. It's about tearing down the people who succeed, not about empowering the people who are failing. If we were really talking about helping the poor, we'd be talking about helping the poor, not income inequality. Income inequality itself does nothing. That discussion does nothing to help the poor. What we have to talk about is ways that we can help people who are poor rise out of current circumstance through better decision-making and better opportunity. How about socialism in Europe? You know, who are defenders of socialism have said, okay, well, you know, you guys always mention Cuba. You always mention North Korea. You always mention the USSR. You always mention China. But, well, they say China's growing. China's growing because they loosened up their economy, and now it's basically state capitalism. But then they say, well, what about the socialistic countries of Europe? So this is Bernie Sanders' play. And what about Denmark? What about Switzerland? What about Sweden? Those are not socialist countries. Those are capitalist countries with a high tax system. Okay, that's not the same thing. A socialist country is government owns the means of production. It is about heavy regulation of all parts of the economy. Denmark is actually a better climate to do business than the United States is, according to the Heritage Foundation. Significantly better. There's a lot of foreign investment in Denmark. What makes Denmark a so-called socialist country is the fact that it has 60% tax rates. That's also the reason their economy stagnated so much that they just had to radically cut their tax rates. The same thing is true in Sweden. Sweden gained riches only after embracing capitalism in the mid-19th century. From 1975 to 1993, when they put in place all of these social programs with high levels of spending and high levels of taxation, the country dropped from 4th in the world wealth ranking to 14th. Swedish scholar Nima Sandanji called the country's embrace of redistributionism a colossal failure, which is why they had to liberalize their markets again. Okay, again, back to income inequality for a second. What about this idea that socialism cures the evils of income inequality? First of all, every country on earth has some level of income inequality. In fact, some of the places with the least income inequality are also some of the poorest places on earth. There are places where everybody is destitute. If you go over to certain countries in Africa or Asia, everyone is poor and there's no income inequality. Does that mean that these are great places to live? No, it means these are horrible places to live because nobody has any wealth. America has high levels of income inequality, but our poor are richer than everybody else's poor, which is the thing that matters. In the United States, even the poor people are rich by global standards. According to Pew Research, quote, almost 9 in 10 Americans had a standard of living that was above the global middle income standard. And by the way, the notion that the middle class has been just taking it on the chin in the past few decades in the United States. This is not true. The upper middle class has been picking up all the people who used to be in the middle class. It's not that the middle class devolved into poverty. It's that the middle class split, and most of the middle class became upper middle class. The upper middle class was just 12% of Americans in 1979. As of 2014, 30% of Americans were now upper middle class. And it's also worth noting that all of our schemes to end income inequality have been an enormous fail. We've spent $22 trillion in the war on poverty to no avail. We spend $30,000 per year on poor non-elderly families. And that's paid for by the rich. For all the talk about income inequality and the rich not paying their fair share, the rich are paying pretty much everything. Statistically speaking, people who are high earners in this country are paying virtually all net cost that the federal government incurs. According to the CBO report on distribution of taxes in 2013, the top 1% of households paid 34% of their income to federal taxes. The middle 20% paid just 13%. According to the American Enterprise Institute, the highest income quintile is financing 96% of the entire system of transfer payments to the bottom 60% and funding the functioning of the federal government as well. We actually have the most progressive tax system among all OECD 24 countries. For all the talk about how all the rich people are getting rich in the United States and the poor people are getting poor, we have the most progressive tax system in all of the OECD. And income mobility has not declined either. This is another myth that's pushed out there, that if you're poor, you can never become rich in the United States. This is not true at all. When people talk about the people in the 1% getting richer, they forget. You will be in the 1% one day, and you may not be in the 1% one day. I've been not in the 1%. I've been in the 1%. I assume at some point in the future, I won't be in the 1% by income earning anymore. If people move in and out of percentiles of income, it's not the same person. It's not that you were born into the 1% and then you stayed in the 1% your entire life just getting more wealthy. In fact, statistically speaking, if you were in the 1%, there's a pretty good shot that you're going to regress to the mean. For those who were in the top 1% in 1996, and we're not talking about the 1% bracket, we're talking about the actual people in the 1% in 1996, by 2005, their income had decreased on average by 26%. And income mobility works the other way, too. According to Thomas Sowell, a University of Michigan study showed most of the working people who were in the bottom 20% of income earners in 1975 were also in the top 40% at some point by 1991. Only 5% of those in the bottom quintile in 1975 were still there in 1991. 29% of them were now in the top quintile. That makes a lot of sense. Right now, there are a lot of people in this room who are in the bottom or middle income quintile because you're in college. You're not making money. In 10 years, you will be making money, presumably. And when that happens, you will have moved up in the world. As you age, you gain more wealth. This is why your grandmother owns a house, but you presumably do not yet. Okay, this will happen to all of you. So don't pay attention to the false statistics that are being put out there about how in America it's impossible to get ahead. That's just not true. Also worth noting, all the talk about the United States sucking up all the wealth of the world, it is because of a capitalist global system that has become more and more prominent, free markets that have become more and more prominent, that literally half the world has been lifted out of abject poverty since 1980. That's because of the force and power of the U.S. free market economy that has been driving all of that growth. The countries, by the way, that are poor in the world, those countries are not the ones that are being hurt by free trade. They're the ones that aren't even participating in free trade. Two-thirds of the global poor on planet Earth live in just five countries: India, China, Nigeria, Bangladesh, and Congo. According to the Heritage Foundation Index of Economic Freedom, every single one of those countries ranks 120th or below in terms of free markets. This is not a coincidence. Freer markets means more wealth. Freer markets mean more growth. Okay, now, on to the second issue we're going to talk about, and that, of course, is free speech. And this one, obviously, has become a more pressing concern than even the capitalism conversation, simply because of all of the hubbub surrounding events like this one. We've been told that we have to hold events like this one and places far away from main campuses because we might make someone feel uncomfortable. And if those people feel uncomfortable, then they get to exercise the heckler's veto. And we have to move the entire event away from fora that host 1,500 people and into smaller venues that host 500 people. And we have to put 300 people on the wait list because, obviously, we wouldn't want to offend anyone.
Ben Shapiro is talking about, of course, socialism and why it always fails. And you can see that he's made some very, very important comments about it. One of them talking about free trade, which also plays into it, right, in markets and everything else, and capitalism, why capitalism is always so successful over socialism. But the other notion that comes up is, he says, you know, poor people live in socialist societies. And where are these socialists? He goes off and mentions the poorest places on the planet, and one of the things that they're restricted by is lack of free trade. And what is a hallmark of what Donald Trump is bringing to the world? Free trade. He's throwing off the restrictions that we have had put upon us in our country. A socialist restrictions, by the way, from the socialist president of the past, in the socialist notions of the Democratic Party. Ocasio-Cortez, anyone, right? Tied to that, though, which I thought was interesting, I'd forgotten about this part of the clip, was the free speech notion, which he just left. You know, because in order for socialists to function, they cannot have other opinions. That's just part of being a good socialist out there. You want to control whatever opinions are out there so that you can control everything that's going on in society. Get it? That's why we have a different notion in our country. And that's why we are so unique on the planet, is because the documents, the infrastructural documents, the thoughts, the philosophies, everything that brought about our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, we respect and honor in our country. We don't run around changing it all the time. See, this is one of the things, these documents, these grounding documents of our culture and society enumerated in the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. It gave us the freedom that we have because they're God-given rights and freedoms. We get that. But it's an instruction manual for us to follow, like the Bible is. And these are holy documents. There's no question about that. They are the freedom documents, as I call them. These other countries do not have these forms of constitution, although a lot of them have mimicked us, such as pretty much all the countries in the New World, by having declarations of independence and constitutions, and they've tried to live that way. Venezuela is a classic example. Venezuela in the 1830s, or no, maybe it was before that, maybe 1816 or something, declared its independence and formed a constitutional government. And up until about the 1930s, it was a pretty much a thriving, or maybe the 1950s, a thriving country based upon a constitution. And then it started to swing to socialism. It might be later than that. I think probably 1990s. But it was a very wealthy, because it's naturally wealthy. And look at it today. It's really taken a bad turn, hasn't it? Well, this country is going down. And a nation state, in the United States, California, has all the earmarks of a socialist state. And that's been what our pleading was. We wrote a letter to the president of the United States as a result of our constitutional convention. And we expressed the first resolution that we passed in that constitutional convention in our grievance 54 just yesterday. And it's an interesting resolution. It's a long one. You can see it on Agenda 21 Radio, and you can also see it on newcaliforniastate.com, the entire resolution that we wrote. But some of the things that come out of this resolution, which are really, really important to understand in this the context of this conversation, is that basically we are calling in our resolutions for the President of the United States to take action, because we are so far gone into socialism that our feet are starting to slip slide into communism with complete state control of everything. And all the things that Ben Shapiro described here in terms of what is wrong with socialism are happening to California, and those have already happened in Venezuela. We have a mirror image of things that are happening that we can see that are happening to California. One of the things is a whereas here is the California state government is in direct violation of the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature against domestic violence. This is part of the Constitution of the United States that we have to have, and we do not have it. We do not have it. we go on to declare such things as this. The totalitarian governance system in California has created a reign of terror on United States citizens living in California with the intent to secede from the United States of America and thus destroy the very union of states which gives us our liberty and freedom. We also declare, well, a whole bunch of things, that the actions of the California Republic contradict the tenets of both the original formation of the Bear Flag Republic and the eventual joining of the Federal Republic under many of the same auspices, and whereas the federal government has reneged on its obligation under Article 4, Section 4 of the United States to guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Whereas we as the citizens of New California pray that the President of the United States of America exercise his authority under the Insurrection Act of 1807 to end the tyranny being foisted upon United States citizens living in California. And finally, we go on. This is a very thorough document. You need to check it out on the website. But the final concluding statement in the resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved, we as the citizens of New California State, having observed the takeover and corruption of our once proud republic, give a clarion warning to the other states of the Union that the old California Republic has been the experimental laboratory for what the enemies of liberty seek to export to other states for the destruction of the republican forms of government they hate. This is the message we sent to the president. We have three resolutions. This was just the first one. Next week we'll be reading the second one. All three saying pretty much the same theme. Socialism isn't working in California, Mr. President. We are giving out the clarion call as New California State to the rest of the Union. It's not working here. It's leading to death and destruction and mayhem. And all the things that Ben Shapiro just described to you, the envy factor, he calls it the envy factor. Well, I call it the envy factor, but he says people get jealous of wealth. Look what's going on. There is no middle class. They got rid of that. They taxed it and got it out of here. And what you have is a two-class society, mega rich and mega poor. And the envy is there, and there's going to be a clash. Capitalism stops all that. It doesn't provoke it. Quite the contrary, it's socialism that brings you this. And this is why we are so different in New California. We are standing for freedom and liberty and independence as granted to us by God.
Sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
My best friend, my rock, my son, Dominic, my only child, was also killed by an illegal immigrant. I call them illegal aliens.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. It's all present at the Agenda 21 show.
And we're back. Sorry, got the microphone in the wrong place. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Visit our website, and you should be able to see all the grievances and stuff. We're finally getting breakthrough technology, getting all of our stuff put up there from the videos and so on. All the grievances will be placed up there this afternoon. We'll be caught up, including up to grievance 54. Which is I was reading some excerpts on or from just a moment ago. Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff what's going on. Absolutely amazing stuff what's going on, and it's pretty obvious, and I've been getting some feedback from some people that they're members of the New California State Movement who absolutely agree with what I was talking about, that you could tell, these people could tell that the president was responding to us in the conversation that we sent by way of our grievances. That's why you go read grievances 54, 50 and 50, 53 and 54. Those are the first two. One is the cover letter that we basically wrote about the resolutions and the letter that we wrote to the president is what we put up there. And you can also see those letters in the articles. There's two articles, one in Agenda 21 Radio and also in NewCaliforniaState.com. So you can see all three resolutions, 10 pages of a PDF. So you can see them and read them. And you can see that all you need to do is once you start reading it and you realize what the president was saying last night, it's like, wow, we're not going to let New California become a socialist state, and we will stop furtherances of the socialist totalitarian takeover of California. We will do that because the people in California, once we leave them behind, they've got to have freedom and liberty too. That's what we want for everybody in all of the states of the Union of the United States of America. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, newcaliforniastate.com and 821r.com, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.